Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12, 18, the word of God says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer as we come to the preaching of God's inspired and infallible word. Our Father, we come to this much practical book, the book of Proverbs, that we might live as those who are wise because we fear you and because we desire to keep your commandments. And we know that's our whole duty. That's man's all, to fear you and to keep your commandments. And so we pray as we come to this text about the words that come out of our mouths, that you would teach us by your word and spirit your will for our life. And we pray that we would lay aside filthiness and wickedness, and we would by a meek spirit receive your implanted word, which is able to save our souls. But help us be doers and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Help us not be those who say, "Oh, what a wonderful truth," and go away and forget what we heard. But help us be those who hear your word unto obedience. Hear and heed, that we might do your commandments. And so please help me even to be ministered to as I open up my mouth to minister this word to your dear people. And so we pray for your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now in Proverbs chapter 12, and I decided to preach on verse 18. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Again, the verse says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." So that's the text. And so the main point of this sermon is, the words that come out of our mouth can either be like the piercings of a sword or promote health. The words that come out of our mouth can either be like the piercings of a sword or promote health. My first point, words like the piercing of the sword. Words like the piercing of the sword. My second point, words that promote health. Words that promote health. Again, my first point, words like the piercing of the sword. We have a phrase in American culture, and it's a phrase that goes like this: "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." It's a common phrase. Many of you have probably heard it before. "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." But the question is it true or is it a lie? Will words never hurt us and only sticks and stones can break our bones? Well, in truth, that is an utter lie. That phrase, "sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me," is a lie. It's false. It's a demonic deception. Because it makes people think, "I can say whatever I want because words will never hurt you. Sticks and stones will, but words won't." But some of you, probably under the sound of my voice right now, can think about words that were said to you maybe a long time ago that still you have scars about. Because sticks and stones, yes, they break your bones, and words will terribly hurt you, if we're saying the phrase in truth. What comes out of our mouth can have great effects upon people, for ill or for good. The words that come out of this mouth, this little instrument we call the tongue, is something that can breed iniquity or breed blessing. This little instrument that we call the tongue can either be used for much good or for much evil. And so it's not true, again, that words will never hurt me. Words are some of the most powerful things that we can use. And we even, well, let me not get ahead of myself. Words can be very detrimental to us. And that's what this text is getting at. It's getting at the reality of our speech. And Proverbs, the book of wisdom, is filled with the importance of our speech. Filled with it. And I'm just going to do a quick survey. You want your Bible out, ready to look. As we look at what does the book of Proverbs say about how we use this little instrument called our tongue. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. That text says, "The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered." We see there the negative. The hypocrite with his mouth, he destroys his neighbor. Not with his gun, not with his fist, but with his mouth. The hypocrite destroys his neighbor. Or Proverbs 15 verse 1. Proverbs 15 verse 1. This is one of the most famous ones in the book of Proverbs about our mouth. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The negative, a harsh word to others can stir up in others anger. Can stir up anger. A harsh word, that's the language of the text. Or verse 7, Proverbs 15 and verse 7. "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so." The wise man, he disperses knowledge. The foolish man, he doesn't disperse knowledge. He just disperses ignorance and folly and stupidity. Or Proverbs 16 and verse 24. 16 and verse 24. This one is only put positive. But we see Proverbs 16 and verse 24. "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Pleasant words. And then I don't have this one in my notes, but I want us to look at this one. It's a very interesting one. Proverbs 17, starting in verse 27. This one almost makes me chuckle a little bit, thinking about the wisdom of this verse. These verses, 27, 28. "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit." Verse 28, this is what especially makes me chuckle. "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." Even a foolish man, if he shuts his mouth, he might seem kind of wise. But we see this reality that a man who has knowledge, he spares his words. He's thoughtful about what he says. And even a fool, if he holds his peace and doesn't say his folly, he's considered by some to be perceptive. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. The text here says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." There's a life-giving power, not in the ultimate sense like God, that's not what the text teaches, but there is a life-giving power to the words we say, and a destructive or death-like power in the words that we say. Not like being God where we can speak of things in existence. That's not what the verse means. But it does mean there's a way to tear down or build up by the words that come out of our mouth. Death and life are in the power of not your hands, according to this verse, not your weapons, but your tongue. But your tongue. And then Proverbs 25 and verse 18. 25 and verse 18. The word of God here says, "A man who bears false witness," which is of course with the tongue, "a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow." A man who uses his tongue to deceive, it's like someone the way I take it, is like someone beating you with a club or a sword or a sharp arrow, or at least feels that way. When you were trusting and relying on someone, you realize they were lying to you. It can feel like a club just hit you. You were depending on their word. And instead of using their word for truth, they were instead bearing false witness. And then Proverbs 31. And the godly woman in verse 26, the virtuous woman, is described this way in terms of her tongue. Proverbs 31 and verse 26. She, that is the virtuous wife, opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So we see one of the things that the inspired text wants us to know about the virtuous woman is what's on her tongue. And what's on her tongue? Kindness and wisdom. And so we see throughout the book of Proverbs that our tongue, our lips, our mouth is crucial to our godliness. Because doesn't our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we see the reality in the book of Proverbs and throughout the scriptures of the importance of what we say. And so, again, I especially now want to focus on this first point. I was giving you a survey of how important this is in the book of Proverbs, because these are expositions, but also thematic. What I mean by that is I'm expositing a verse, but also showing the theme in the book of Proverbs, at least for some of these sermons. And so we've seen many verses on the subject. But again, the first part says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. We use language, and we might have got it from a verse like this, that those words were cutting. Those words that came out of your mouth cut deep. Why? Because there's one who speaks, and those words are like the piercing of a sword. Harsh, untrue, without restraint words to others, to them, or if we're on the receiving side, can feel like someone's trying to stab us with a sword. That's what the text is teaching. That our words that we say can feel as if someone jabbed a knife into us by their harsh or cutting or belittling words. Sometimes it would almost feel better if they hurt us physically than for them to say cutting words out of their mouth. Because cutting words cut deep. They have an effect that can be lifelong. And so, like I said before, some of you might remember phrases when you were growing up, or from parents or siblings or friends at school, or supposed friends at school, or people, or whatever it might have been, that you can still remember, that they would say things to you that were cutting, and you can still remember. Because words cut deep. The words that come out of our mouth matter greatly to God. They matter greatly to God. God is not only concerned about what you do, but what you say. And, of course, what you think. Jesus says that we will be judged for every idle word. And therefore, this is important that we take revenue of the words that come out of our mouth. Because we do not want to be those who, by the words we say, by the tone that we say them, say things that are cutting to other people. It should not be our desire to lash out upon someone where they get cut with a sword. And you might be saying now, well, Pastor Sam, this sounds kind of discouraging because all of us have done this in one way or the other. Well, thankfully, we have the grace of God in Jesus Christ to wash away our sin, to cleanse us, to reconcile us to God and forgive us, because Jesus died for our wicked speech, He died to cleanse us from our iniquitous language. He died for our cutting speech to others. But that doesn't mean that in light of being in Christ now that we want to do it and don't care. Now that we're in Christ, we know our sins are forgiven. We know if we stumble again, if we confess, we're forgiven. But it should be our desire to put off wicked speech. Put off speech that tears down. Put off speech that is cutting and untrue. Talk to the New Testament Ephesians that we should put away lying. Or it talks about let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. This is the language of the New Testament, that the words that we say are either building up or tearing down. If you turn with me to James chapter 3, this whole chapter is basically about the tongue, how we use our words. James chapter 3. Starting at verse 6. James 3 and verse 6. James 3 and verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. This is the tongue he's talking about. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue, meaning no man according to his own flesh. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father. And with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. What he's saying is the tongue is deadly poison, and it can't be tamed in our own strength. Some people bless God and Father out one side of their mouth, as we would put it, and with the other side they say, who are you to do this to me, you jerk? And they tear someone down, made in God's image. The God that they were praising, they're tearing someone made in his likeness. He says, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. You shouldn't out of one mouth say, God, I love you. You're so fantastic. Get away from me. And I'm obviously using hyper language with these things in terms of saying, but the point is hopefully clear in your mind. He's saying these things shouldn't be. What should be? We should bless God and bless his image bearers. And there's one who speaks like the piercings of the sword. And we know the reality of the danger and the destruction that that can bring. The words that come out of our mouth, either building up or tearing down, either pouring out blessing or pouring out cursing. But the first point in this text, there's one who speaks like the piercings of the sword, is talking the negative. The negative about the words we say, sharp, cutting, piercing, and therefore they do not edify. We have a phrase we say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It's a common phrase in our culture. And depending on what someone means by that, there's some truth to it. If what they mean by that is we should never call people sin, then we reject it. But if what they mean by that is we don't want to have words that pierce each other, then that's a true phrase, if that's what they mean. And I think that the latter is what they're getting at. The reality that if you don't have anything that's going to build up or it's going to be corrupting or cutting, it's better not to say anything at all. Because the crazy thing, maybe not crazy is the right word, the interesting thing, I'm not sure the best word for that, but is once something comes out, as much as you might want to grab it out of the air, you can't. Once it comes out, you might wish, oh, I wish they didn't hear it and I could just pull that back. But you can't. Once it's out, it's there. And therefore, we must be on guard about the words that come out of our mouth. I remember when I was in high school and then in college, growing up, the words I would say, I would be rude and mean to my parents at different times and say things that were not good. Anger was a big temptation for me growing up, getting angry. And would say things. And I remember one way I knew that God was really working on my heart when this was when I was in college. I believe I was generally converted at 11, but not a lot of discipleship. And therefore, my passions overtook me sometimes. I'm not saying I've arrived now. That's not the point. But I'm just getting to the fact of this example. And I remember when God was really changing my heart. I don't even remember hearing a sermon on this. I don't know why I started doing this, but I would start telling my parents on the phone, I love you. I love you. And I knew something was changing. Like I was growing because I don't remember really saying that growing up. If I did, I didn't remember it. And then I just wanted to tell my parents I loved them on the phone because the words that I was saying mattered more to me now because I knew I didn't want to be cutting or piercing, which I was prone to and gave into when I was younger. Just selfishly rude to my parents and could be cutting. Piercings of a sword. And so we see this reality that this is a real thing. Some of you, when you heard the text read, you knew exactly what it was talking about. You didn't even need the exposition. You heard the piercings of a sword. I know what that means. I've experienced that. Pastor Sam, sign me up. I know what that means. I know what it means to be cut like a sword. And that's what the text says. It's very practical. A harsh word stirs up anger. The hypocrite, by his mouth, destroys his neighbor. This is the language of the Word of God. And this is why the Bible is full of imperatives of guarding our lips. Guarding our lips. Psalm 37. You can turn there if you want, or you can just listen. Psalm 37. I'm going to read it pretty quickly, so you want to maybe just listen. Psalm 37, it says, oh, it's 39, excuse me, Psalm 39. It says, I said, so Psalm 39, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. And then he prays, Lord, make me know my end. But he says that I want to guard my ways. And how am I going to guard my ways? Why do I want to guard my ways? Because I don't want to sin with my tongue. I want to restrain my mouth like a muzzle. Like a muzzle. And so we see this reality, this restraint, this guarding of the lips. Or Psalm 34. Psalm 34 puts it like this about the tongue. It says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Again, that language of keeping your tongue from evil. Keeping your tongue from evil. And so there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Not sure exactly how you're receiving this, but I'm sure there must be conviction because you can't talk about the tongue without people being convicted. And I just want to remind you, if you're feeling that way, one, conviction's good. because conviction leads you to repentance and reformation. And conviction leads you to say, yeah, I have been too free with my tongue, with my wife, with my children, with my friends, with my coworkers, and I need to make sure I'm more guarded, because I don't want to speak to my wife, my children, my friends, my family like the piercings of a sword. And so that's a good thing when you feel that conviction. And also, with God there is forgiveness that he may be feared. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's a God who's merciful and gracious to not only forgive you, but also to lead you in the way you ought to walk. And so with God there is forgiveness, not so that you might live however you want, but so that God might be feared. And if we fear God, we keep his commandments. And so there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. But now positively. That was negative. Now positively. Because words not... There's both truths. Words can pierce, but words can be fantastic to people. And that's the second point. Words that promote health. It says, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Who is the wise? The tongue of the wise. Well, the wise is none other than those who fear the Lord. And who fears the Lord? Believers. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Who is the wise? The children of God. And so we, and we alone in a unique way, can actually be those who promote health by our tongues. Spiritually, eternally, emotionally. And the wonderful thing about this too, is the words that come out of our mouth can actually have a physical benefit. Some of you have gotten sick, maybe over words that have been said to you. Literally, physically sick. The Bible says, hope deferred. And this can come because of words, not necessarily because of cutting words, but hope deferred makes the heart sick. I've actually experienced that. It's interesting. I remember there was a time I wanted something to happen and it didn't happen. Or it didn't happen. Yeah, it didn't happen. I'll just put it like that. And my heart literally felt sick. Like, you literally can feel that way. Where you're so distraught by emotion, the heart can feel literally sick. And so, but the positive is also true, that when someone brings a good word, it can make you, your body feel better. Sweetness, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. There's even a physical effect to good words. And he says, but I think primarily promotes health, is talking about spiritually and emotionally. The tongue of the wise, the tongue of the Christian or believer, to not be anachronistic in the sense of looking back in the Old Testament, they wouldn't have been called Christians, but believers. The tongue of the wise, it promotes health. If it's true that words we say can tear down, it's also true that the words you say can have a big effect on someone. Little things can have big effects on people. Those shoes, I really like them. That haircut looks really good on you. That shirt is really nice. That job that you just did, you did a really good job. That thing that you just did, I know no one really saw it, but I did, and it was really good. That extra effort that you put in, that getting things together, can have a big effect on people. And don't say it doesn't, because the people who are most secure in themselves still love when people say that. Don't kid yourself. The people who are most secure in who they are, they still appreciate when people see, and in non-flattery, but genuine encouragement, say, thank you for that. That means a lot. And so this is what God wants for us. He wants us to be edifying and building up and encouraging by the words we say. I quoted the first half of the verse earlier, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but there's also put on. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Could be a word of encouragement. It could be a word of genuine exhortation. It could be a word of just genuine compliment of the person. It could be just seeking to build up by the way we talk. But the words we say, they promote health. And therefore, the words that come out of our mouth matter. Some of you would say that you feel most loved. The way you feel the most loved is by words of affirmation. That's the way you feel the most loved. So some of you, it means even more than others to get words of encouragement. But all of us in different ways need and are made to be encouraged. How do I know this? Because the God who made us, God the Son, will say at the end of the age, because he knows us, well done, good and faithful servant. What is that but encouragement? What is that but the tongue of the wise promoting health and saying, my faithful disciple, well done. You are good and you are faithful. Come enter the joy of your Lord. That's what our Jesus will tell us, because he is the preeminent encourager. And he wants his faithful people to know, well done. So if you want to be Christ-like, you should tell people well done. If you want to be like Jesus, you should tell people that. Because that's what he's going to tell all of his faithful people. Well done, my good and faithful servants. We see this in the inspired scriptures. The Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, many of his letters, he'll end by saying, this person's doing this, this person's doing that. They're a faithful servant. They've risked their necks. They've done this and this and this for the sake of Christ. What is that but encouragement of saying, I want to promote their health, and therefore let me tell you all these good things that's going to be publicly read to the church about how fantastic these Christians are. How great they are. How wonderful they are to have in Christ's kingdom because they're faithful believers. Or Psalm 138, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. You almost think, but I thought we were only to praise God. But the Bible says you should praise people because the husband's to praise his wife. The husband rises up and praises her. And so we see throughout the Word of God the importance of encouragement. The importance of encouragement. We even find this too. I find this interesting. This is a little bit tangential and not maybe necessarily encouragement, just stating the obvious. But you'll be reading the Bible. I find this very interesting sometimes. And it'll just say, this person was beautiful to behold. Or this person was handsome. It's like almost like a passing comment. Like they're just so attractive. They want you to know that they're an attractive person. Because they're making the point that that's a true reality. And that person probably would have realized that, or in their generation maybe, and they would have read that, or they would have known that. I just find that very interesting. Those things are recorded in our Bible. But we just see what I'm trying to show to you, and hopefully you're convinced, is that the words that come out of our mouth positively are very important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not just death, but also life. Some of you might have even experienced this before. Just like you could experience a cutting word, some of you might have been having a bad day and someone built you up or said something that seemed insignificant to them, but it made your day, as we would put it. And it just made everything easier because you were encouraged. You felt respected. You felt that someone cared about what you were doing, and it made the day all the better. Or, you know, the people that you love to serve that come easier to serve, people that appreciate what you're doing. Don't tell me it isn't that way, because it is. People that you want to serve are people that appreciate that what you're doing. I'm not saying we serve them because of that reason. You didn't hear me say that. But I'm saying it does make it easier for us, doesn't it? When we are appreciated for what we do, it makes us easier to do good things for that person. That's just how God has wired it. And so God wants us to be encouraging and building up and strengthening to our brothers and sisters in Christ in a special way. And our words can truly promote health. The tongue of the wise, the one who fears the Lord, can promote health by their words, by what they say, by the truth that comes out of their mouth. And we even see one of the most famous, I already referenced it in my reading going through Proverbs, Proverbs 15:1, one of the most famous verses in all the Bible about our speech. And it begins, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. What that verse teaches is, by having words that are soft and gentle to others, when they're yelling at us and we're being kind back to them, the general principle is it turns away wrath. It turns away wrathful words. And pleasant words, Proverbs 16:24, are like a honeycomb. Sweetness of the soul and health of the bones. You have to remember, in the days of when the books of the Bible were being written,
honey was about as sweet as the gods. They didn't have all the things that we have in terms of we think about sweeteners and all this. Honey was about as good as it got. And therefore they say pleasant words, they're like a honeycomb. Remember when Jonathan, he didn't know about not eating, and they're basically about to die because they're not eating and drinking and all this. And he dips his finger in it. He has the little bit of honey and it revives him. And so we see the blessing that honey would bring to them, that joy it would bring. God, when he wants to describe the promised land to us, it seems, that's very interesting because we live in American culture. We live in their culture. But what is the promised land? It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And so what we say matters. We see this with the woman who was married to the foolish man, Nabal. Abigail. They come, his troops, to see about the field. He says, no, I'm not giving you anything. Let's get out of here. It was David that I should care about him. And then they come back and David's hot. He is hot. He's not responding well necessarily, but he's hot. Yes. And he says, all right, get your swords. We're wiping them out. Get rid of them. And his wife, a woman, obviously. Anyways. his back to the story. His wife realized, they tell him what's going on. David's hot and he's about to kill us. And she, in humility, says, I know my husband's foolish. Have mercy on me. And her pleasant words won over David's. The power of pleasant words. The power of what we say. And so we see this reality of how big an effect the words that come out of our mouth are. And so we need the grace of God in Jesus Christ, by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, that we would put off corrupt words, cutting words, harsh words, and put on words that promote health. Maybe some of you, even today or tomorrow, need to get right with people because you said cutting words and you never got it right. And that would be biblical for you to do that. To say, after the sermon, I was greatly convicted, and those words I said were cutting. And by the grace of God, I don't want to have cutting words anymore. By the grace of God, I don't want that. And if I do, I will ask for your forgiveness. And you have my word that it is my desire with all my heart to put off words, to put them off, to set them aside, any words that would cut, any words that would pierce like a sword. You have my word on that. And if I stumble, and I might because I still have remaining sin, I will ask for your forgiveness. But I think so many people, sadly but truly, will say things like, they just need to get over it. They just need to deal with it. This is just who I am. They need to deal with who I am and forget about it. God doesn't think that way. God doesn't think that way. Because God says the words that you say either have death or life, and you do not want death in people's lives that you love. Hopefully not. You want life. And so God doesn't say, oh, they're being too sensitive. They need to just worry about it. They need to not bother me with this. No, they being cut by your words, they're feeling what God describes. It's not them being overly sensitive. It's God saying, I'm the one who says that there's one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. Not them. Not you. It's God's word. And therefore, we must, by the grace of God, put off all speech that is connect it with cutting words. And for those who are here without Christ, on the day of judgment, you will be condemned for your words. You'll be condemned for the words that came out of your mouth. And therefore, you need Jesus Christ. He alone can forgive us from our evil words, from our thoughtless words, from our iniquitous words. Only in Christ can you have your sin forgiven and be cleansed before Almighty God. If you're without Christ, you will be condemned for one reason, many reasons, but one of the reasons will be the words that came out of your mouth were cutting. And therefore, you need Jesus Christ. And for the saints, we need Jesus Christ to forgive us when we fail as well. Because this sermon is not meant to crush you where you feel like there's no hope. Because if you're in Christ, there's always hope. There's always hope. He's the one who forgives our sins. He forgets them. He chooses to forget them. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. He says, "My son, if you come to me with a humble and contrite heart, I won't despise you." But he forgives us, and then he empowers us to live different. He forgives and he transforms. God not only says, "I'm going to wipe away your sin," he says, "I'm going to change you so that you live different." And so we must, by the grace of God, put off all things that are piercing. But instead, when you're prone, a very practical way, when you're prone to think, "I want to say something that I know might be sharp," think about some positive that you can say. Because not only do we want to put off piercing words, we want to have the tongue of the wise that promotes health, that's building up, that's encouraging, that's edifying, so that that person knows that we genuinely want what's best. And we genuinely want to build them up. We genuinely want to build them up. We want to bring emotional and spiritual health to others, and that comes by the words we say. And you know the greatest way to promote health in someone's life, if they're without Christ, is by telling them about the God who made them, the broken law that they have broken countless times, but the Son of God who loves sinners and receives sinners, died and rose again, that if they believe upon him, they will not perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest way to promote spiritual health amongst the unconverted is by telling them about Jesus Christ, who alone can rescue them, who alone can give them eternal and spiritual health. And for God's people, what is the greatest way that you can promote their health? Is by speaking the words of life to them. Not being those who are seeking just to focus on negative, but also to focus on positive and to build up our fellow believers by not our words, but by the words of life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to the Lord. By having the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you're able to impart wisdom to others. Yes, by the way we sing, but also by our conversation. And so we should be people who want to build each other up and not tear down, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And even a fool, when he holds his peace, he's considered perceptive. And so we must be those who are wise with our tongue, because out of the same mouth, my brethren, we should not bless God and curse men made in his likeness. We should seek to bless God our Father and to bless and build up those who are made in his likeness. In Jesus Christ, you can. By the Holy Spirit, you can. And may God make it so more and more in our life. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that you would apply these things. Help us not be crushed, but help us be convicted unto repentance and unto change for your glory and for the good of others. In Jesus' name. Amen.